everybody doing? All right, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm especially glad the Holy Spirit is here. And I am glad the Gators won. Come on, I got to admit it. I am a Gator fan. Come on, a lot of y'all got spoiled because you don't know when, 50 years ago when I was a kid selling Cokes in the stadium, our goal was to win more games than we lost. That was it. If we just had, more games that we won, and we didn't usually do that. So we've got some championships, so you guys are a little spoiled, but I'm always glad when we win. Last week I shared with you about our move to Gainesville. Let me give you an update on our move to Gainesville. We've been talking about this for over a year. It was never our goal to stay in Micanopy. We bought land in Gainesville. We thought this was going to be very short. And the number one reason we want to move back to Gainesville is the 8 years that we were in Gainesville, we averaged 145 salvations per year. In Micanopy, we averaged 50 per year. So if you don't know anything else, just we're kingdom-minded. We are much more effective. Why? We're a different church? No, because it's just more people. There's more flow. We have more people coming through. We were leading more people to the Lord, and we need to do that. And it's never been our desire to stay here, but we've just never found a way to get back. So a year ago, we said we're going to pull out all the stops, do whatever we have to do, put the land up for sale. We had the five different things. The fifth one was a miracle, and I believe that God has orchestrated a miracle for us in the building that we're looking at, just the way that we were able to get the deal. Also, Michael Crames is coming on full-time in January. Between now and January, he's raising his own support to be a full-time campus minister. What better time to be closer to campus? And that's just our desire as a church, is to win souls and make disciples. Amen. So here's a picture of the building. This is the outside of the building that we have negotiated a contract on. We haven't signed it because we wanted to be sure that we could do what we need to do. So this is the building. You've probably seen it. It says Sports Bar. It was called Art of Billiards for a while. So at first it was an office building, but for many years it's been either a bar or a nightclub or, club or something like that. So that's the building. Now, where it says Sports Bar, we anticipate putting our new logo, which is we've had for a while. You go ahead and put that up. That Jenny Sanjana designed for us a couple years ago. Isn't that beautiful? That's cool. A little more modern looking, and we've just never had the money to replace signs and everything, but when we move, of course, we'll have to buy new signs, so we'll incorporate our new logo. So we're instead of Sports Bar, I know a lot of you wanted to keep Sports Bar up there, just to attract people, which is fine, but we're going to put Victory Church. Maybe we'll put Sports Bar underneath it, okay? The bar is still there, too. We could just move it and serve different kind of spirits. Amen? Amen. All right, so that's, and then here's what the building looks like. The layout, kind of a very professional drawing that was done by your senior pastor. It's just amazing. I did use a ruler, so it helped. So this is the way it's laid out. It's pretty much all open inside. Those little circles there are support columns, and this is the way we are going to have to fix it up like this. So you come in, you have a big lobby, and then the stage is that kind of semicircle is the stage. And then we have separate rooms for 3 to 5 year olds, 6 to 12 year olds. We have 0 to 2 on the right in the back, and then nursing mothers in the back top right corner is a kitchen area. 6,300 square feet, which is what we were designing our new building, so it's the same square footage. So I shared all that with you last week. Of course, all this work has to be done. The outside has to be fixed up. And I told you we came up with a bare minimum budget of $55,000 with us doing a lot of the work to create all that construction, to fix up the outside, put up those walls. And I gave you all pledge cards last week because I said, we need to raise this $55,000. But there has been a turn of events since last week. And what has happened was I shared this with you on Sunday. And this week I've just heard all these great testimonies, people saying, yeah, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to make it happen. We're rearranging, we're selling, And I just felt so much faith and encouragement and just people saying, we're behind this. That how many of you know God is not moved by our crying and complaining, but he is moved by our faith. Yeah. and faith without works is dead. So I just believe, you know, so many people responded. We put this forth. We said, you know, we need to raise $55,000 to put these walls up and fix the outside. And then Monday morning, now we put our land up for sale, remember, about a year and a half ago. And we've had a couple of deals that fell through, or offers. They never went anywhere. So Monday, we get a cash offer on our land. We negotiated back and forth all week, and we signed a contract Friday morning to sell the land, cash, 30-day cash closing for $350,000. Now, we had it listed a lot higher, but from the beginning, the experts that I talked to said, you're going to get about $350,000. You could get more if the county allowed different usages, but they're not going to allow it. And sure enough, that's what happened. We had some people make some high bids, but the county said no. So I kept in the back of my mind, you know, we're going to hopefully get $350,000. Now, we paid $150,000 for it, and we were selling it for $350,000. Now, it's due to close in 30 days. They have 15 days due diligence, which basically means they have 15 days to back out of the deal. And then it's supposed to go hard, you know, and then, but still there's contingencies. Anything can happen, but it's due to close. We're scheduled a closing on October 15th, all right? So you need to pray. We need to pray and believe. There's always something to believe for. I mean, it's never closed until you walk out of the closing with the check in your hand. That's when it's closed, all right? So things can happen. But I'm just in awe, amazed. We've been trying to sell this thing. And then the day after we present it to you guys and say, here's what we want to do, and now we have a signed contract to sell it. So God is just good. God is good. So everything's changed from what I told you last week, because last week, you know, I mean, we have no reserve, you know, we needed the money just to get in. So now everything's changed. In 30 days, we will have money. Now, you can still give, obviously. I put some things in motion. And I've just, you know, decided, well, you know, if they go through, I'm just putting it into the building fund. But don't turn in your pledge cards. So we're undoing the pledge, because the pledge, we needed to know if we were going to even be able to do this. Now, as long as we go to the closing, we're able to do this. And so we're going to, instead of putting $55,000, that was like a bare minimum, we're going to do a better job. Our goal, as we talked about this in leadership, is when we open, we have a, you know, like our launch and new people come, we want them to feel safe, secure, you know, it's going to look like excellent. So now we're able to put a little more money into like the kids' rooms. Let's take them to the 55 was like, let's just get it done and we'll make it look nice later. We'll fix it. We'll go to the next level. Now we can go to the next level. We're going to start at the next level. We're not going to go overboard, but we can put more into making it look nice, making it feel nice, making it sound nice, replace our aging sound system, put acoustic treatments, you know, to where some of the stuff that, you know, we have now, we have an awesome music group that does an incredible job with music, but the acoustics aren't the best, and we could fix that with acoustic treatments, but those cost money, so we want to do that from the get-go. We want to, you know, put acoustic treatments on the wall so you don't get the harsh sounds. We have improve our sound system. Maybe we need to look at everything in the budget, see where we want to be. Maybe buy new chairs. How many would like new chairs? You're kind of tired of these. Like, actually have a pad on them. You know, some people pick their chairs because some of them, like, the padding is, like, gone. So we'll look at those kind of things because now we have the wherewithal to do that. We definitely want the kids' rooms to, when we get new families come and they look in there, they need to go, wow, this is great, instead of looking and going, it's okay. No, we don't want them to go, it's okay. We want them to go, wow. Yeah. So we're going to be able to do that. Yeah. We need it to close. So now I need you to shift your prayer to closing. Yeah. We've got a signed contract. And obviously, if you want to give, give, but hold on to your pledge cards. I know that God moved because we moved in our hearts. I could feel it. You know, people would tell me I'm excited. People would call me during the week saying, I'm doing this, I'm making these, I'm selling this, and I'm doing that, and I'm calling relatives and stuff like that. You know what? That's what God moves on, our faith. We acted in faith, and after all this time, boom, we've got a cash deal, signed cash deal. Is that exciting? I mean, God is God. He's up to something. So that's where we're at. Hold on to your pledge cards. We're not doing the pledge. We just need to pray that it goes to closing, and we close. We would like to be operational in there, hopefully to have a Christmas Eve service in there, and then have like a major launch in January. It's a great time to launch, do a mail out to the area. So see, now we have the money to do that. We can do a direct mail to the area. We can make the building look really nice and sound nice, and then have a launch. You can invite your friends. I've had people tell me over the years, yeah, if you ever come back to Gainesville, I'll come back. I haven't ever found anything like Victory, but I don't want to drive down to Micanopy. So I think we're going to have a great launch in January, and we can still participate and do, you know, I know a lot of people just want to work on the building, and that's great. That's exciting. We can have some work parties over there, and I know when we fix this up, it's a lot of people tell me, I never forget when we worked on this building and how much fun it was just coming together. So we could still do that in the new building. We're just going to be able to take it to the next level. Is that exciting? Yeah. Praise God. So I needed to tell you that. The good news. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. All right. Man, that's just exciting, I think. So maybe I won't even preach. I'll just stand up here and keep saying how exciting that is, because God is faithful. Well, there's some sermon notes. I do have a message for you. There's sermon notes in your worship guide. If you need an extra copy, raise your hand. The ushers would love to give you one if you need an extra one. So the title of my message today is Faith and Focus. Faith and Focus. Two messages ago, we talked about the Father's business. Remember that? How important it is to have at the center of our life. Remember the wheel of life, and at the center all these different spokes, aspects of our life. But the center is our Father's business. And that was the center of Jesus' life. He told his parents, didn't you know I had to be about the Father's business? And that needs to be our attitude. No matter what else I'm doing in life, do you know? It all centers around the Father's business. And then we talked about teach us to number our days, making good use of the time that we have on this earth. Number our days, count our days, use our days wisely. And you put that in conjunction with the Father's. I'm using my days to promote the kingdom of God, to do God kind of stuff. So let's pick up where we left off there in Psalm 90. And it says, Moses is writing this. He says, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. Earth is not heaven. Do you realize that? Thank God when things go well and we have peace and we have joy. But it will never be heaven. Things will never be perfect on this earth, all right? The earth is labor and sorrow. Soon it is gone. And we fly away. I don't know about you, but that's some good news right there. So when you die, it's not over. I like that. Because some people think, oh, yeah, when you die, it's all. No. When you die, you fly away. Hopefully, if you made Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you fly away to heaven. But you're going somewhere. Nobody ceases to exist when they die. Everybody is an eternal spirit. You're going to live forever somewhere. And the Bible says there's only two somewheres. An eternal separation from God called hell, or an eternal peace and joy with God forever called heaven. So we have this life is labor and sorrow, and then we fly away. Praise God for Christians. That's good news. I like that. And we fly away. We get to go to be with Jesus. So that gives you perspective of this life. Why do I endure and keep believing and put up with all the crud that the earth has to throw at me? Because one day I won't have to stay here anymore. I get to go to be with Jesus. Amen. So I'm sending. Go ahead. I'm sending treasure on up ahead now with my faith, with my actions, with my thoughts, where I spend my time and where I spend my days. I'm laying up treasure that's going to be there forever. Jesus said, don't lay up treasure on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal. Lay up treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupt and thieves won't break in and steal. It's eternal. It's preserved for you. You've got a bank account. You've got a treasure account up there in heaven that Jesus is watching over for you. And one day you'll get to go enjoy it and make withdrawals. He's had it all set up for you. Thank God the things that we go through in this life are not for naught. They're not for no reason. We're laying up treasure in heaven. And our attitude has to be, I'm going to go ahead and go through what I have to go through because there's something I'm going to get to go to in the future. Praise God. And we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury? Hold on to that and we'll come back to that. According to the fear, which the correct would be understanding is reverential respect that is due you. So teach us, having this understanding, teach us to number our days. Since I'm going to spend eternity somewhere, teach me to number my days and spend them correctly. That we present to you a heart of wisdom. So what I want to talk about today, two things you have to have in order to present to God a heart of wisdom are faith and focus. Faith and focus. Two things that you need to live a successful Christian life. And when I say success, I mean success in the eyes of God, not success defined by the world or by some person that has influence in your life. Don't let people tell you what success is. Go to the Word of God and speak to God and find out what success is in the eyes of God. Because some people, by the world standards, says, I'm very successful. Look at me. I have this. I have that. I've accomplished this. The real question is, what does God say? Does God call you a success? Because it's very possible for everybody in the world to think you're a success. And God goes, nope, not what I called you to do. And it's also very possible for people in the world to look at you and go, look at them. They don't have anything. They didn't amount to anything. And God look at them and go, you're exactly where I wanted you to be doing what I wanted you to do. Because sometimes you have to give up the blessings of the world to get the blessings of God. Sometimes you pay a price and you give up certain things that the world would say that's what you should have, but God says this is what I want you to have, something else, and you go after that and give up the stuff of this world. And when we face Him face to face, we're going to be very glad we made that decision and paid the price and received the blessing of God for eternity rather than blessing of man for a short time. Because I found out the people that praise you one day will try to kill you the next day. The praises of men are very fickle and they're not worth it, and it's not what we're supposed to go after. We go after the praises of God, the blessing of God, the honor of God. Do what God wants you to do, not what people want you to do. So when I say success, I mean success in the eyes of God. Success by God's standard. And to do that, you have to have faith and you have to have focus. Because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God. So we know that whatever else we're doing, whatever you do in life is going to require faith. When we live in faith, it indicates by the very nature that there's a struggle involved. That it just doesn't come easy. To do the things that God wants you to do requires faith. To live the life that God wants us to live means you have to live in faith. It means that there's some things that come against you, and then your mind fights against you, and you think you're not doing well, and the devil tells you, and you have to have faith. You have to hang in there. But because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because God doesn't always bring the answer at midnight when you want it to come. He has His own plan in mind, and He has His own timing in mind. It's like Jason said last week, delay is not denial. When you pray for something and it doesn't come when you think it ought to come, delay is not denial. It doesn't mean that it's not coming, and that's where faith comes in. When you keep believing, you said, I'm standing on the Word, and I know that this is something you purchased for me on Calvary. Why don't I have it? You can't stop believing. You have to keep getting up every day saying, it's coming. It's coming. It's going to happen. He said it. I'm trusting God. I'm believing. Without faith, see, God loves that. God loves when everything about the circumstances of life say you're going down, and in your heart you say I'm going up. When the devil says, I'm taking you down, I'm destroying you, nothing's going the way it's supposed to, and you say, yeah, but God is with me, I'm going to make it, I'm going to get through this thing. God loves that when you look adversity in the face and look God in the face and choose God instead of the adversity and the negativity. When you choose hope instead of dread, faith instead of fear, God loves it. Without faith, you're going to live a life of faith. You got to live a life of faith. That means you got stuff to face. That means there's mountains in your way that have to be moved. Otherwise, you don't need faith. If everything just happened when you wanted it to happen, if you just thought it would happen, that's heaven. If everything went like that, you wouldn't need faith. But for some reason, God has decided he wants us to live a life of faith. So Christian brother and sister, get used to it. Get used to the understanding. We are always going to have to be wherever we're at in life, believing for something that's not there yet. Believing for a mountain to move or for something to come in, something to get out of the way or come into the way, something we're longing for and believing for that we have not yet received. It's a life of faith. It's a life of faith. If you have faith, said the title message is faith and focus. But if you have faith but don't have focus, you believe in the wrong direction. You believe for the wrong stuff. You use all your faith, energy, and power. See, wouldn't it be terrible to climb the ladder of success all your life and struggle and make it to the top of the ladder and realize there's nothing up here that I want? Realize your ladder's on the wrong building. You got to have faith to climb the ladder, but you got to have the ladder on the right building, and that's focus. Finding out from God, what ladder do I climb? What direction do I head? What has he created me to do? That's why we have discovery, so we can look at your spiritual gifts and your passion and your personality, and your design reveals your destiny, and it helps you. It doesn't give you all the concrete answers, but it gets you closer to hearing the voice of God to know what it is that he created you to do, because you were uniquely created to uniquely solve a problem on the earth that nobody else can solve. There's something for you to do that nobody else can do. And too often we're born an original and we die a copy. We try to do what somebody else is doing, but they're doing what they're doing. I got to do what I'm called to do, and you got to do what you're called to do. You have a unique calling and a unique destiny. You got to have faith, but you got to have focus. You got to know. Because when you're heading in the wrong direction, even if you have a mountain of faith, there's no grace. And if there's no grace, there's no God accomplishment. Now, on the other hand, if you have focus and no faith, you're heading in the right direction, but you never get there and you're frustrated because the purposes and the call of God are supernatural. If you could do it in your own strength, you wouldn't need God. And he hasn't made your life such that you can do it on your own. Now, he's also made it so that he won't do it on his own. He needs our involvement. But he's also done it so you can't do it on your own. You need his involvement. It's a cooperation. It's a teamwork. A successful Christian life is the balance between me doing everything I can do and trusting that God's going to do only what he can do. It's the union of faith and grace. So if you have the right focus but don't have faith, you never get there. If you have faith but don't have focus, you get to the wrong place. Does that make sense? So faith says, I trust you, God. Faith says, I believe you, God. Now, how do you know to believe? You have to know what he said. So we'll get to that in a minute. But this came to me this week, and I wrote it down, and it's in your notes. And I'm going to say it. Understand where I'm going with this. Here's a statement that I believe is true. Sin does not anger God as much as doubt. I really believe that. Because sin is disobeying God, but it's disobeying him because I'm selfish and I want my own way. Now, God doesn't like us to sin, okay? He doesn't like us to sin. It's kind of like your children. Why doesn't God like us to sin? Because it hurts us and that hurts him. So why doesn't God like us to sin? Because he's just, oh, I'm so offended they didn't believe me. No, it's because he doesn't like the results of sin, what it brings in our life. It's like you tell your child, don't put your hand on the stove. And they do it anyway. What are you thinking? Are you just so offended that they didn't believe you? No, you're thinking about they burned their hand, that and that hurts you. So that's what sin is all about. But doubt is different. It impugns God's character. It says, you're not going to do what you said you're going to do. So hear me. I would rather have my kids disobey me and do something wrong. I don't want them to do that than to say, you never do what you said you're going to do. Because that hurts. So I believe it's more offensive to God to doubt him than to disobey him. Now, did you hear what I don't think we should disobey him. But it goes to the core. I mean, how would you feel if somebody, you told, like if Rebecca came home from school and said, I got an A. And I go, I don't think you got an A. You didn't get no A. Let me see that paper. That would hurt, wouldn't it? I mean, if you told somebody something and they said, I don't believe you. Ouch. And that's what doubt is. When we hear God's word and we say, I don't really believe you're going to come through for me. When he says, I went to the cross for you and died for your sins, your sickness, disease, and for your prosperity. And then we go through life as if he didn't say that, or we just basically are saying, I don't really believe you're going to come through for me. Ouch. Ouch. And that's what faith is taking God at his word. It's looking at his word and saying, I trust you. I believe you. If you said it, I believe it. That's what faith is. Sin says, I'm selfish. Doubt says, I don't trust you. Our faith level is up to us. You see, God, Bible says that he's given Romans 12:4, he's given every man the measure of faith. Everybody has the seed of faith, the measure of faith, everything that we need. You have what we do with it is up to us. Our faith level, your faith level, my faith level is up to, my faith level is up to me. It's not up to you, it's up to me. Mike's faith level is up to Mike, not up to me, not to anybody around him. Your faith, where you are, you say, well, I just don't have faith. Well, maybe that's something to work on. Because where your faith is up to you. It's a choice. What we believe is a choice. Now look at this, Matthew 8:25. Then his disciples came to him, being Jesus, and awoke him. They remember they're in the boat and the waves and the storm, and they're going to sink, and there says they were petrified. And they said, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you fearful? And he answers the question, oh, you have little faith. So basically the question is, why don't you have any faith? So if faith was already given, he wouldn't ask why, he would already know. He's asking them to ask themselves. So when you have something in your life and you don't have the faith, you should listen to this scripture and go, why? Why do I not have faith? We're going to talk about why you or I don't have faith, because there's a reason why we don't have faith. It's not magic. It's not, it was just written in the stars. God just didn't give me any. No, God gave every one of us a measure of faith. It's what we do with it. Now look at this in Matthew chapter 8, 10, a few verses earlier. He says this about a guy. When Jesus heard this, of the Roman centurion, the Italian boy. And he made this statement about how he trusted God. And when he heard this, when Jesus heard, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found what? Such great faith in anyone in Israel. He said, this guy's not even he's not even a Jew. He doesn't have Abraham. He's my Italian boy over there. He just came from eating some spaghetti and meatballs. And he says, I believe. And he said, he looked and he marveled and told everybody, great faith. Look, great faith. Why? Because his servant was sick. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And he said, you don't have to do that. He said, just say some words. That's all you got to do. And he said, I've not found such great faith. So first, his own disciples, he said, what? Little faith. He said, why do you have little faith? And then he looked at this guy and said, great faith. And go to Matthew 17. Jesus is up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. He comes down, disciples, a man had brought his boy who was demon-possessed. to the disciples, and they could not cast it out. And then Jesus cast it out. And then it says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately after that little thing and said, why could we not drive it out? Now, the typical traditional religious answer in our minds would be, well, you're just people and he's God. That's not what Jesus said. He didn't say, well, you're just people and I'm God. No, he didn't say that. He explained why things don't happen on the earth. If you want to hear it, do you want to hear it? Because maybe, you know, it's easier to say, oh, he's God and I'm just me and I can't, but that's not what he said. So I don't know if you want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. Not because you're human, not because you're people, not because you sin. He said, because of the littleness of your faith. So that tells me I have a choice in whether I'm like them or like the Roman, whether I want little faith or big faith. Now, you may not want to hear that, but I just said it. We choose our level of faith by two things. Two things. Number one, what we choose to put into our minds. You say, well, I just don't have faith for that. Okay, let's analyze the last 3 days of your life. Where in your schedule did you feed your faith? Well, I'm tired when I get home from work, so I watch TV. What'd you watch? Flip or Flop. That's fantastic. That's House Hunters. Wicked Tuna. That's one of mine. I like that. Or Alaska, The Last Frontier. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But did it feed my faith? No. Is it okay to watch those? Yes. But if I'm going to say I don't have any faith and that's God's fault, no. I feed my faith. I choose what I do and what goes into my heart and my mind. So number one way you feed your faith is what we choose to put into our minds. And the second is what we choose to believe. A lot of times we'll believe the news, we'll believe people, we'll believe negative stuff, and we won't even believe the word of God when he says, I love you and never leave you or forsake you, and I'm for you, and I went to the cross to die for you. Somebody says, the hurricane's coming, you better, I believe, I'm going to die. No, and if God says, you're going to live, we choose what we believe. Yeah, I knew I'd get a big shout out of that. All right. Romans 10:17, you don't have to believe me. You can believe the word of God. Here it is in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You choose what you put in your eyes and in your ears. You choose it, and if you don't feed your faith, that's why you don't have faith. Me too. Just because I had faith a year ago, just because I heard a good faith message, doesn't mean I have faith today, because it leaks. It leaks. Because we live in a fallen world and everything's out there to suck the faith out of me, and I have to keep putting it back in as fast as it goes out or faster. Our level of faith is entirely up to us. We choose our level of faith by what we choose to do every day. One man said it this way. He says, a man chooses his habits, and the habits make the man. Second, our focus. First is faith. Second is focus. If your faith is not pointing in the right direction, then it's not connected to grace. What are you focused on in life? Here's what Paul said in Philippians 1. He said, for me to live is Christ. That's my focus. And to die, that's even better. If I'm to live on in the flesh or in this life and in this world, flesh, see, when we go to heaven, we won't have this kind of a flesh and bone body. We'll have a different immortal body. If I'm out to live on the flesh, it will mean what? Fruitful labor for me. It's the call of every believer is kingdom business, the Father's business, winning souls, making disciples. That's our focus and that's our life. Somehow, somewhere, whether it's running the soundboard or working in the nursery or making the coffee or going down the streets of evangelism, it's all teamwork makes the dream work. That's how we win souls. It's finding your place in the body of Christ. For to me, to live is Christ. It's the focus of my life. Yeah, I do a lot of other things, but the focus to live is Christ. So I'm heading in the right direction, and that's where the grace is. Romans 4:16 says, for this reason it is by faith, in order that it might be in accordance with grace. Faith doesn't work just by willpower. It has to be connected to God. Remember Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved. That's what he did on the cross. For by faith are you saved through by grace. Grace is what Jesus did on the cross. Faith is what I do to release it into my life. Faith releases what grace contains. So your faith can't just be in anything and everything. It has to be directed by the Word of God to find out where the grace is. So, for this reason, it is by faith, in order that might be in accordance with grace. It has to be pointed in the right direction. So grace comes from focusing on what God's focused on. Jesus put it this way, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What we do is we go after all the things and ask God to bless us in getting the things. And he said, that's not the way it works. It's contrary to popular opinion. He says, go after the kingdom and the things will run you down. I'll make sure it happens. Seek first. That's focus. Where's your focus? So is our focus on money? Now, do I need money? You better have money. You're going to be in trouble, right? Man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So do I need a job? Yes, I need a job. But is that the center of my life, or is that something I do so that I can seek God and put God first? Or careers, anything wrong with having a career? No, but see, if the career is our God, anything you put before God is doomed. What about relationships? Sometimes, you know, so many people get shipwrecked on the relationships because they feel like they're not complete unless they have this other person. And so they'll give up the focus. They'll take the focus off of God and put it on this person. And I can give you 100 or more exact stories of how it didn't work out that way. It doesn't work that way. And I can give you 100 stories of faith where people said, well, I'm just going to believe God. I'm not going to pursue that. And God made it happen in his way with his person. You don't want getting your way in that area of life. You want getting God's way. Put God first. Well, I can't go to church because I'm trying to find a mate, and so I'm going to the beach. Well, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. See how that works out. Faith says, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to put God first. And he's given me some gifts and talents and ability. I'm going to invest them in the kingdom. And he's going to take care of the rest of that. That's a step of faith. And I can tell you from experience, it works a lot better. What is your focus? A goal? A thing? Comfort? No. Put God first, and those things will come to you. That's what he said. Seek first. That's a step of faith. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So what that takes faith. But what's the opposite? Is doubting him. And what does doubting say? Is I don't believe you, God. I don't believe you're going to do that. I got to go get it myself. Go ahead. Are you focused on your business or God's business? Why do we want as a church to move to Gainesville? Because it's all about focus. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about winning souls. Why do we want to go? Because of the kingdom. How are we going to get there? Faith. And because people responded in faith, God did what only God could do. I can't make a buyer come along. God did it, and he's going to bring it to the close. Amen? In your personal life, focus is what you do. Faith is how you get there. You have a promised land. Everybody in this room has a different promised land, something that God has for you to do. But for every promised land, the people of Israel, they were in slavery, and the goal that God wanted them was a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, as it means it's good, all right? There was a lot of obstacles to get from there to here. First was the Red Sea. Not good, right? Just when you thought it was going good and we left Pharaoh, they get trapped between the devil and the deep blue sea. They're hemmed in. And what? They had to stand in faith to part the Red Sea. The next obstacle, they're in the wilderness with several million people with no water and no food. This looks like an impossible. Have you ever felt that way? I'm believing God, and now look. Yeah, they needed another miracle, but that's what God does. He does miracles. He brought water from a rock, and he's brought manna from heaven. And then they're getting ready to cross the promised land, and the Jordan is in flood stage, it's overflowing, it's muddy, and it's dirty, and it's swift, and it's moving, and God has to do another miracle. There will always be what looks like an impossible circumstance between you and your promised land, but you can never give up and never quit and never impugn God's character. Keep believing he's going to get you through, and if he has to, he'll part the Red Sea, he'll bring water from a rock and manna from heaven, and he'll get you where you need to go. It's going to take faith to cross the obstacles in your life. But God did it. God does it every time. And here's what he said about you. I know the plans, Jeremiah 29:11. It's in your notes. Take it home and think about it. I know the plans that I have for you. They're not bad plans. Look at this. Declares the Lord's plans to prosper you. The devil says, oh, God's got bad plans for you. No, just read this scripture to yourself and read it to the devil. No, God does not have bad plans for me. He has plans to prosper me, not to harm me, plans to give me hope and a future. God has some big plans for you. Believe it. Believe God. Believe you have things to do. Believe you're not ordinary, you're extraordinary, because God lives on the inside of you. And no matter what's going on in your life right now that says you're not going to make it, faith is going to get you through that mountain and get you where you need to go. Have you received God's plan for your life? It will take faith to fulfill it. There will be delays. There will be betrayal. People will stab you in the back. When you're trying to do ministry, people will try to put you down. Don't let that hinder you. There'll be pain. There'll be questions, and there'll be struggle. Stay focused. Stay in faith. God told Abraham that his dream was going to come true, that he would have a child when he was 75 years old and been trying for 50 years, and it didn't work. He tells him, but he didn't give up. He kept believing, and it took 25 years. The answer to your prayer will take longer than you want it to take. But don't give up. Keep believing. Moses had to wait 80 years. Daniel had to wait. David had to wait. Every man or woman of God had to wait for the promised land. That's the test. You cannot give up. I'm here to tell you today, don't give up. Keep believing. Find out what God wants you to do. Keep journeying. Keep following. Keep going. Stay in faith every day, and it will come to pass. Keep your eye on the prize. There's something only you can do. God is counting on you. And let me tell you, God needs you to fulfill your destiny. And the church needs everybody in this room to be everything that they were created to be. People need you. People, did you know God's crazy about people? Oh, we're all messed up. There's people who hurt you, but God's just in love with people. He said, the great commandment is love God, and then he wouldn't leave it. He said, you got to love people too. Love God. You really can't love people till you love God. You got to love God because you can't put up, otherwise you can't put up with people. But God don't want people to go to hell. And that's why he needs you, and that's why he needs me, because there's something on the inside of you that somebody around you needs to help them to keep from going to hell and to go to heaven. There's a purpose for your life. There's a purpose for your gifting. There's a purpose for everything that's on the inside of you. You have a part to play. Keep focused on the kingdom. Keep believing for victory in every area of life, in your health. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't settle. Keep believing. Keep believing. For prosperity, keep believing. Keep believing. In relationships, keep believing. Wisdom. Let me present to you a heart of wisdom. Believe for wisdom. Believe to be a blessing to others. Let's go take Jesus to Gainesville. 80% of Alachua County is unchurched. They need us. They need you. We need you to be on the team. We need you to be connected. Let's love the people of Gainesville into God's kingdom. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Let's pray. Father, we love you. And I just want to start out, and every one of us, Lord, at times in our life, we've doubted, we've questioned, we've wondered, and we've wanted to give up. Lord, how many times I've wanted to give up, but thank God I've never given up. And I thank you that the people are here today. The reason they're sitting in these chairs is because they didn't give up. And I applaud them. And I just would like to pat you on the back right now and say, well done. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you didn't give up. After all that you've been through and you're in church today, come on. After all that you've been through and you're still trusting God, God's got something good in store for you. It's always too early to quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. There will be an answer. There will be a promised land. You will make it to your promised land. Good things are going to happen. There's a prize laid up for you in heaven. I'm speaking to you today. I'm speaking to somebody today. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep believing. Put your faith back in gear. Make some quality decisions on how you're going to spend your time. Feed your faith. Make sure you're focused in the right direction and doing the right thing. And there is a promised land for you and those around you. God told the people of Israel, just listen to what I'm saying. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you may live, you and your descendants. Your decisions affect those around you. There's people that need you. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. There's people that prayed for you and believe for you that are in heaven now rooting you on. They want you to finish strong. Come on. They're watching from heaven. That's what the Bible says. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They're watching down from heaven saying, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Keep going. I want you to make it. There are things you do not understand in this life, but we do understand that God is good all the time. And keep pursuing. Keep pursuing God. Father, I just pray for everybody that's here today that you put your enlightenment in our hearts as to what you want us to do. We throw out doubt and unbelief out of our life. We throw out negativity. We break the lies of the devil that impugns your character and said that you don't love us. We renounce that lie from the devil because we know that you do love us, that you have a good plan for our life. And I just speak your blessing over everybody right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I got an important question for you. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today, say, I don't know. Think so, hope so, not sure. That's a pretty important consequence to leave to chance. Does anybody know? Yeah, Jesus said you need to know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Here's what he said. He said you have to be born again. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You have to be born again. Again, that simply means there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes, lives on the inside of you, makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, that's why you're here today. I went to church for 20 years. I was not a Christian. I never surrendered my life to Christ. Maybe you did that in the past, but today you're not where you need to be with God. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward, but with every head bowed and every eye closed, if either one of those two apply to you, you want to be sure if you died tonight, you go to heaven. Or you need to get back on track with God. Just slip up your hand. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Thank you. Anybody else? Today is a new start, a new day. It's a new day, a new day. You're making a decision today. Anybody else? All right. Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them out. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. And I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. If you prayed that for the first time, on the connection card, there's a little box. If you check it, I'll send you some.